Church, why don't you stand up? We're going to stand together and pray, if you would. That's why I didn't want the moms to sit, because they'd have to stand back up. Father, we thank you for our moms. We thank you for this day. We thank you for family and friends. We thank you for your presence. I ask your hand a blessing on this day. We sanctify this moment by the precious blood of Jesus, and we invite your presence to move and reveal the word as you desire. Your will be done. I ask for a special anointing to rest on this house today. We give you, Lord Jesus, all the praise and all the glory. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Greet two or three people, and then you may be seated again. Good morning. You guys are happy today, I can tell. Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. It's not raining. There's actually sun outside. You know, throw a little sand out there and get, I mean, we'd be almost on the beach. Amen. We've been doing a series called, if you've been with us, called The Roar of Heaven. Say, The Roar of Heaven. We see out of Revelation 5:5 that talks about Jesus being the lion of the tribe of Judah. A lion roars. Did you hear me? A lion roars. Sometimes in my heart, and you can disagree with that, and anything I say or anybody says, our culture around here at Hope Church is don't take people's word for anything. Challenge everything with the word of God. You have to walk through this process in your own truth and revelation that comes from the word of God. It's not a matter of what you believe if it's not based on the word. I've run into people say, well, I believe, and it's not in the word. You might believe that, you know what I mean? It's crazy stuff. It's got to be lined with the word of God. Challenge everything. It's for our growth. And the book of Joel, chapter 3, we'll throw this on the screen. This has been our launching verse throughout this series. It said, the Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be hope of his people and the strength of his children of Israel. When God speaks, he roars. Proverbs says that a lion turns away from no one. I believe, going back to my earlier thought, I think a lot of things have happened in the church world historically, and if we're not careful, we'll redefine what really happened and fit the narrative to our perception or our desire or our wants or likes, many times our fear. And it seems like over the years that more and more of the strength of the church has been zapped. People have gotten more interested in getting along with everybody and likeabilities and followers than they do the truth of God's word. And I'm not saying we should be rude. We should love people. You know what I mean? Love people where they're at and pray for them, because we all grow or should be growing. Can I get an amen to that? But it seems like a lot of people, no one here, amen, but people that you've known in other churches, that they stem everything from the place of weakness. Their prayers are weak. Their convictions are weak. Their understanding is weak. Their power is weak. They resist the devil, and the devil smiles and doesn't move. And yet it's in the scripture that when we resist the devil, he must flee. There's a missing gap in a lot of Christians' lives. And if we're not careful, we'll redefine that as, well, it must not be for me, it's going to be for somebody else, so I just need to follow that somebody else, and hopefully that they'll just kind of, for lack of a better phrase, wave a little spiritual dust on me, and I'll be better. And praise God for ministries, don't get me wrong. Praise God for the things that God does through people. Don't misunderstand me. But sometimes in the church world, men and women of God, and I don't believe it's out of being wrong. I think they're sincere, but they don't understand. They try to set themselves up on a pedestal where it's just them and nobody else, so people worship them. Yeah. Right. And when you find people that are trying to get you to worship them, that should be a first red flag, because it's really, our focus should be drawing the attention to Jesus. Amen. And God can use whoever he wants and can magnify and elevate people in positions of authority and power. Amen. But it never comes to, oh, you need to worship me. No, we worship God. That's one of the temptations that when the devil in the wilderness, he said, listen, if you bow down and worship me, and what did Jesus say? You worship none but the Lord God. We have a tendency, if we're not careful, that out of our weakness, we look for strength in other people instead of learning to develop and access what belongs to all of us as children of God. Not because of denomination, not because of education, not because of age, not because of race, not because of income, not because of zip code, not because of who you know and networking, not because of how many followers, but because you have learned the truth of the Word of God, who you are in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen in church? You may or may not be in full-time ministry. You may be a pastor, you might not be a pastor. What I want to get to your heart is that's irrelevant. You as a child of God can operate in the strength of God. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. God is not a God of weakness. His children are not called to be weak. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. That is not a place of weakness. So it doesn't matter if you are the least in the kingdom, you should be the most powerful compared to the world system. Why? Because as a child of God, are you a Christian? Say, I'm a Christian. Say, I'm a child of God. If you're a child of God, then you have access to strength. We just need to learn to access what God has for us and make it available to us. A lot of times we don't realize what's available. The other day, a quick story. The other day I had, my wife and I were watching TV, and there's always that jockeying for not only channels, but remote, amen. And so at that particular day, I had the remote. Don't always, but sometimes I get it, amen. And so I had the remote, and I had set it down, and got up to go get something to drink, and my wife's like, hey, well, if you're gonna leave, where's the remote? I'm gonna change. So I had to calmly explain to her, no. And so the interesting thing was that the remote was in her reach, but was not in her view. It was on the other side of the lamp. He could easily reach and have gotten it, but it was not in her view. Because it was not in her view, she didn't know to reach for it. Some of you are gonna get there. There's things that are in your reach, but if you don't have a revelation, know that they're in your view. Hey, Ty, how you doing? If you don't know that they're in your view, then you won't know to reach for them. That's why faith is substance of things hoped for. There's a hope. There's an expectation. That means I've got a revelation of something that's available to me. It's in my reach. And by faith, we receive it. Hebrews 6:12 and Hebrews 11:33. By faith, they inherited. Be followers of them who through faith and patience inherited the promises of God. Hebrews 11:33, that by faith they obtained the promises. What do? We begin to access what's available to us. And so we got to back up and say, wait a minute, if I'm living in strength, I don't have to be there. It doesn't mean that you're a bad person. It just means God has something better for you and that we're going to learn as we study the word. Can I get an amen? Can I get a better amen? So when God speaks, it's a roar. Isaiah 55:11, it will not return void. God's word has power. I like to say it this way, we brought this up last week. When God speaks, now remember, God is a spirit. God is spirit. So when God from the spiritual world speaks, his expectation is the natural world shakes. Let me say that again. So when God speaks from the realm of the spirit, the spiritual world, the realm of God, the kingdom of God. When God speaks from his spiritual kingdom, the spiritual world, his expectation is the natural world to change, to shake. Why do I say that? Because if we're not careful, we'll misunderstand and think that the natural world is the hierarchy of priority than the spiritual world. We'll go in and out of church and say, oh, that was a good experience, and I feel encouraged, and not see any change, no power. But I'm here to tell you that the realm of the spirit is greater than the realm of the natural. And I'll give you one illustration. I think we can all agree with it. Who created this earth? Who? God created the earth. And God is what? Spirit. So the natural came out of the heart of the spiritual side. So if he created the three-dimensional world, natural world, from the realm of the spirit, why do we think that what God can and can't do in our life? What problem do you have that's so big that you've excluded God from the equation? We'll look to people, we'll look to books, we'll look to advisors, and many times not. We're looking for the light at the end of the tunnel instead of looking for the light of revelation that comes from God on the inside of us and his word. The heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people. God roars. God's word, their spirit, and their life, John 6:63. I want to tag into what we talked about last week at the end of it and bring it into a little deeper. And this is this message again, this is not about you getting to heaven, and that's important. This is about what to do while we're on the earth, how to bring heaven to earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How to bring the order of God, the will of God, the rule of God, heaven, into your natural world. How to bring God's provision into your finances. How to bring God's peace and strength into your life, into your marriage, into your relationship. How to bring God's ability and protection into your life. Yes. It's not just saying, oh, one day when I get to heaven, I'll be so happy. Why not be happy here too? Come on. It's going to be great happiness when you get to heaven, but why do you think you got to be depressed here? One day, when I get to heaven, I'll walk in streets of gold, and I'll have riches. What do you need money for when you get to heaven? And God's a generous God. Hear about the back of the day, a very, very, very wealthy man who never served God, and on his deathbed, an angel showed up and said, "You're going to die in a few minutes, and you need to get saved, or you're going to hell." And the guy said, "Well, I'll get saved, but I want to make an arrangement." And the angel said, "Well, that's kind of weird. Let me check." He said, "Okay, God said, we'll let you do it." And so he was so excited that God was able to make a deal. So he gave his heart to the Lord, but he took everything and possessions he had, and he sold it, liquidated it, and put it into gold bars, and then put it in a suitcase and had it brought to him, and he held on to it. So he dies and goes to heaven. Now, this is a joke, so lighten up. And so he dies and goes to heaven. Some of you are like, "I don't think that's theologically possible. I think you just need to lighten up and drink some more coffee." And so he dies and goes to heaven, and he's so proud of himself, and he gets in line, and he's waiting, and there's, at the pearly gates, Peter, and none of this is probably going to even happen, but anyway, at the pearly gates, there's Peter, and he gets up to it, and Peter says, "Your name," and he tells him, and he says, "Why do you have a suitcase with you?" And he said, "Oh, check with God. I made an agreement. He said I could bring one thing with me." That was really interesting. Peter said, "I've never heard of that." So they checked with the upper management, and came back and said, "Yeah, that Gabriel said that was approved by from God, and you can do it. But we want to know what the one thing is." So the man opened up his suitcase. He was so proud of all of his life achievements, brought down to this one thing called gold. And he looked at it, and Peter was a little bewildered as he looked in the suitcase. And the guy was smiling. His chest was puffed up. He just knew he was so proud of himself. And Peter said, "Asphalt? You wanted to bring asphalt?" So anyway, just forget that joke. And so, see, asphalt, streets of gold. You're going to get it. All the moms are going to get it. The dads, you won't get it. But it's bringing heaven into our world. Amen? Why wait till everything you receive by your inheritance in heaven when you can receive it here on earth? And then not only can you enjoy it, for he gives us all good things the Bible says to enjoy, but you can share it. You can bless people with it. You can reach people for the kingdom of God. So our key thought here from last week comes out of Exodus chapter 4, verse 17. We'll throw this on the screen. "And you will take the rod in your hand, and therewith you shall do signs." You shall take. Now God's talking to Moses, and he said, "I want you to take the rod in your hand." Say, "Take the rod."
Take the rod.
Have you ever asked questions when you read the Bible? I encourage you to do that. It's okay to ask God questions. Take the rod in your hand. Take the rod in your hand and do signs with that. We know from the stories, and maybe you haven't read it, you maybe saw the movies of the Ten Commandments and Moses and the Red Sea, and take the rod and do signs. Take the rod and do signs. Take the rod in your hand and do signs. Why did God want him to do something with the rod? God could just send an angel. God could just said it could have happened. But there's something there, because it's not only a historical event, it's also a prophetic event. Everything points to Jesus. Take the rod in your hand and do signs. It's not a physical stick that we're talking about. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 says, "And there shall come forth," what? "There shall come forth a rod." Notice, God knows what he's doing. He said, "Moses, I'm going to tell you to do something that seems obscure to you. You just simply need to obey. And as you obey, I'm going to do something amazing. But I also know that I'm going to use this later as an illustration to point to someone that you don't even know of. He's called Jesus."
Yeah.
"And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. A branch shall grow out of his roots." Verse 2, "And the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and the spirit of understanding. And the spirit of counsel and might, and the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove at the hearing of his ears. Notice that, and I encouraged you last week, if you got kids that are struggling in school, let that be one of your prayers. Because that same anointing that's on Jesus, we have the same Holy Ghost on the inside. Your Bible says you have the mind of Christ, amen? That Jesus has been made wisdom unto you. You ought to pray that verse, Father, anoint my child's mind. Help him be of quick understanding, amen. Help him be quick understanding. Let him get the concepts even before his teachers have totally said it. You say, I never heard of that. Well, you'll never get it unless you have some hope for it. You won't, and start believing for it with faith. Amen. And there shall come forth a rod, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Who's that rod? It's Jesus. Yeah. Take the rod. Take the rod. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. 1 John 1:1. Says, notice this, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. Jesus is the word. Some people just hear the word. Some people just read it. Some observe it. Others have learned in their walk with God how to handle the word of life. Take the rod. Take the rod. Get a hold of the word of God. Get a hold of the truth of God. You say, well, I carry my Bible. That's not what I'm talking about. Get a hold of it. You got to get a hold of the Word of God. You have to get a hold of the Word of God. Take the rod, which is the Word of God. That rod represented to Moses as it does to us. Notice this. That rod represents to Moses as it does to us. It was a rod, like a scepter for a king.
Amen, yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
So when Moses spoke in the Bible, check it out. It literally says that God is speaking to Moses, says, I have made you a god in the eyes of Pharaoh.
Yes, indeed.
Why? Because when Moses would speak it, things would change.
Yeah.
When Moses would do it, water would split. Come on, somebody.
Right.
Moses knew, and we know that it was God backing what he was doing.
Right.
But he started with the rod. He started with that rod's like a scepter of a kingdom. I remember seeing a scene in Troy when all of a sudden he killed an army, their strongest guy, and the king came out and said, I'm giving my scepter. Whoever holds this scepter rules this army. What is he saying? The one who holds and carries the scepter is the one in authority. The one who has the scepter is the one who has the power. The one who has the scepter is the one who has the authority and right to rule and to make a choice. Can I get an amen? Stay with me. Take the rod. When you get a hold of the rod, the scepter of God's word, it positions you in a power and position of authority. That's why Revelation 5:5 and verse 6, when John was at the throne of heaven and he saw, it says, no one was able to open up the scroll and to open the seals, and all of a sudden they said, stop crying, John, here comes the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Remember, the Messiah has two facets. He's the Lamb of God, who was the suffering servant, who came through a virgin birth in Bethlehem, who died on a cross to pay for your sins. But that's only one side of it. That's only one side. We saw it out of Isaiah chapter 11 when Jesus was quoting. He said, I've come that this is the acceptable year of the Lord. And he stopped and rolled it up and said, this day has it been finished, and sat down, and he sat down in the seat of the Messiah, and that's why all the eyes were upon him. But he stopped right at the point, because the next part of that verse, it says, and the judgment of our God. Why? Judgment only goes to Jesus, because Jesus said, the Father has given me all judgment. Are you listening to me? The Father has given me all judgment. Who's in the hands, does that judgment belong? To Jesus, the Lion. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the Lion. And one day, and the second side of the Messiah, we know the son of David comes through the lineage of David. And when he comes, he doesn't come through Bethlehem and a virgin birth. He comes in the clouds. Are you with me? That's a prophetic. The Messiah has come as the Lamb. And most of the Jews have not recognized him because they're looking for the Messiah to rule. That's what the disciples were trying to do. Is it time to establish the kingdom? They knew that Jesus had come, and he was going to establish the kingdom. They didn't have the understanding that the prophecies also talked about the Lamb, that he had to pay a price. He was bringing mercy before he brought judgment. He was bringing mercy before he was bringing judgment. We are in a season of mercy and grace. We're in a season to repent. We're in a season to reach the lost. That's why we're sent to reach the lost. We're in a season to reach the lost. But the door is closing, Matthew 25. And when the door is closed, there is no more chance of repentance. I don't care what they do. The Bible says, even though they seek it with tears and pain. There is no chance of repent. Jesus knows the Father has a time. Jesus knows that the Father has got it timed out. And only the Father knows, Matthew 24, only the Father knows when that time is going to come. But when it comes, it's done. We're on the side right now temporarily. And the door is about to close, child of God. The season won't last forever. There is a season when the judgment is coming. And he will come in the clouds as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And we can access that anointing. Back to Revelation 5. And he said, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah is overcome. And John said, and I saw in the midst of the throne 24 elders and a lamb who had been slain. And with him was seven eyes and seven horns, which represent the seven spirits of God. Yeah. Go back to the other verse and count how many there are. There's seven. The seven spirits of God, referring to the sevenfold or seven anointings of the Holy Spirit, and representing the eyes and the horns, which represents eyes being seen, horns being authority. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will not speak the words of himself. He'll not talk about himself, but he'll speak the words that I've said. He'll remind you of the word. He'll show you things to come. Oh, we have so watered down the person of the Holy Spirit. We've made him so weird. And we thought it was all about a prayer language, and praise God for prayer language, but that's just a little bit. That's just a small part of it. When you are anointed, you need the anointed word. Are you listening to me? You just don't need to be able to quote something out of your memory. You need something stirring in your heart. Have you ever been in a crisis mode? When you're in a crisis mode, you think different than when you're in a calm mode. Yes. If you talk to people that are in military, and they'll have them take that gun apart and put that gun back together. They won't do it until they've figured it out. They won't do it until they get it down. They'll do it and keep doing it and keep. They'll do it blindfolded. They'll wake them up in the middle of the night and do it. They'll do it, and while they're trying to put that gun, take it apart and put it back together again, they are throwing things at them. They might be hosing them down. They're trying to distract them. Why? They're training them. They're training them. They're training them, because what they have to do could save their life. They're training them that regardless of the surroundings or the sensory overload around them, something instinctively becomes on how to take it apart and put it back together again. Because in a crisis moment, you don't have to think calmly, because you can't think calmly. In a crisis moment, you'll forget a bunch of stuff. You don't need just the Bible verses in your mind. I think I can find it somewhere. Let me Google that. No, you need it in your heart. You need it in your mind. That's why the Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Not a little bit. Not you got some of it. I think I've heard it. I read it somewhere. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It didn't just say the word. It said the word of Christ. Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is a position of authority. It means the Messiah, the anointed one in his anointing. So it's literally saying, let the words of the anointed one in his anointing. Let the words that come from the anointed one in his anointing. Let the revelation, the revealed word that's anointed, get that in your heart richly. Why? Because in the days and the battles of life, and there are battles, you are not exempt from battles. Battles happen to all of us, but you can be exempt from losing. You can be exempt from failing. Victory belongs to you when you understand what we're talking about. It's not set aside for full-time ministers. It's not set aside for the elite. It's not set aside for the special. It's set aside for the children of God. And how do you get it? You got to get the word of Christ in your heart richly, because in the days of battle, and they're talking about you, and they're trying to take your job or take your house or bad doctor's report, you don't have time to think calmly. You need something so built in you that it stirs and comes out of your mouth and then focus in your heart and your decisions without you trying. It's the word of Christ. It's the rod of God. Take the rod. Take the rod with your hand. They handled the word of life. 1 John 1. 1. They handled, take the rod. Get a hold of the revealed word. Get a hold of the rhema. That means when the information that's in your head becomes alive into your heart. Romans 10, that's where we believe. We believe with our heart. Matthew 13, that's where the seed begins to produce when we receive understanding, which is literally revelation. I know people, and I know you do too, who have information and can explain it, but they don't have a revelation, so they can't obtain it. And it's okay to explain something, and you might be a good teacher to explain the Bible, but if you can't obtain it, it doesn't demonstrate. Because what you say carries some weight, but what you do and live carries another weight. You can tell me you love me, but if you don't act like you love me, what you do carries more weight with me than what you say. And the problem with the world not coming to Jesus is because a lot of times in the church, we think the greatest epitome is that we went to church and we didn't kill anybody this week. And we have set the standard so low that we're like, well, I didn't kill nobody. I didn't commit adultery. I didn't fall into any major sin. I'm doing pretty good. So that's the standard. Can you imagine your boss come and say, how's the business? Well, we didn't go bankrupt, and we don't have any lawsuits against us. I think we're doing pretty good. Did you make a profit? Oh, I'm not worried about a profit. I'm just trying to keep this thing from closing the doors. You don't start a business trying to keep the doors open. You start a business so you can grow and have a profit. I'm telling you, Jesus has raised the standard in his word, and he does it, and you can't do it on your own. So I'm not here to intimidate you. You can't do it in your own strength. You need him. How do I get? You got to get in the word, and the Holy Spirit reveals that word. It comes into your heart. He brings a change, and now what you said, now what you prayed, now that you were hoping for, you begin to enjoy. You begin to live. You begin to demonstrate. You begin to share, because it has to me. The world's out there watching. They might mock God. They might blaspheme Jesus. But I'm telling you, in the depths of their heart, they're praying and hoping somebody has the answer to this thing called life. You say, I'm going to church. You say you're Christian. And they're watching from afar, though they might not be talking, hoping you have the handle on the reality of this thing. And too many Christians, you don't have to be weird. Weird people are weird. God's people aren't. Listen, there's a lot of weird people that get in the church, and now all of a sudden everybody thinks church people are weird. Leave those people alone. Pray for them and leave them alone. Just smile and walk away calmly. But they're watching. They're wanting to know, is this thing real? And we have talked the talk in the world. And then when we come to walk it, we have nothing. No wonder they look at God and say, that must be some gimmick and game. No wonder they're saying that is not real. Because we haven't allowed God to show himself strong in our lives and demonstrate the aroma of his goodness wherever we go. Shh. 2 Corinthians 2:14, 1 Corinthians 15:57. Our life is a billboard. Take the run. It's not for your comfort. If you're living for your comfort, you haven't caught the heart of your Father. The heart of your Father is the desire that none should perish and all come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Wake up, child of God. Wake up, child of God. It's not time to be comfortable. I'm not saying you've got to be miserable. I'm saying there's opportunities ahead of you. Step into those. Catch the heart of your Father. You want to live a great life. Jesus said, people that try to get everything from themselves, they don't have much life. But those who lay their lives down for me and the gospel's sake find true life, one translation says. There's a quality of life, a richness of life that only comes from God, John 10:10. The thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have life. The Zoe, the quality of life that I have for you, it comes from him. Take the rod of God.
Amen.
Get a handle on this thing. Don't be passive with it. Well, if I need to know, pastor will tell me one day. No, I won't. Don't blame me. This is on you. We have let fivefold ministers all of a sudden act like they're our babysitters, and if we're going to be fed, they got to feed us. Listen, grow up a little bit. You've been saved just 3 weeks. Okay, we'll give you due. You got one more week, but after that, you got to start taking care of yourself a little bit. Come on. If you want what God has for you, you got to do something about it. Well, I'm just going to sit back and just trust God. No, you're being lazy spiritually. That's a lie of the devil. He'll put you to sleep. And while he's putting you to sleep, he's making your world smaller and smaller because he's not satisfied with you being comfortable or sleeping. He's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. Man, I'm just trying to stay off the radar of the devil. No, you got to get on his radar and let him know you're coming for him. He needs to wake up saying, I need to get. See, are you listening to me? This idea dropped in my heart just the other day.
Yes.
It's like three phases. It's like three phases. Moment, monument, or movement. A moment is when God does something special, and we'll celebrate that, and that's wonderful. But a lot of times, all we have is the moments from in the past. Oh, I remember that Bible study in 1972. Boy, did we know how to pray in those days. Would God stop? A moment. And a moment's great. We want moments. Don't misunderstand. But if a moment's only working maybe through a person, then all of a sudden they become the monument. Ooh, I got to get to the service with that person. But that's not the goal, child of God.
Right.
My goal is not just to have a moment on a Sunday. My goal is not for God to use me. You're like, ooh, Pastor Greg did a great job. I don't need to be a monument. I've learned in the scriptures that when people start thinking and believing their own press releases, God takes them down. I don't need a monument. I don't need a moment. You know what I need? I need a movement. You know what a movement is? When you prepare the people to do what God is wanting to do through them.
Yes.
God forbid the devil ever messes with you, but you're like, oh, I got to call pastor. No, I want men and women of God that have grown in this thing, that all of a sudden the devil messes with them, and they're like, oh, good, I've been wanting to warm up a little bit. I got this. I got all this word on the inside. It just keeps coming, and you begin to exercise the rod of God in your hand. You got a hold of the rod. Say, I got a hold of the rod of God in my hand. That's the word of God. Take the word. Take the word. Take the word. Listen to me. Oh, I'll let God do it. God works through people. Right? The angel tells Peter, they're sending some people to you. I want you to preach the gospel. Why didn't the angel preach to them? Because God works through
people.
Give it a shall be given, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give in your bosom. God works through people. God is waiting from heaven for somebody to reflect him on earth through faith.
Yes.
God, it doesn't mean you got to go find the person. You be the person. You be the person. Why, I don't feel called in the ministry. I didn't say you're called in the ministry. I said you're a child of God. You be the person. Do you see my point? We have elevated men and women of God, and I appreciate honoring people. We should and respect people. But we've elevated and said, oh, I can't do that. I'm not special. You're a child of God.
Right.
You don't get any more special than that.
Right.
What do you want? You be the people. God, say God works through people. Woo, Jesus is the word. He confirms his word with signs and wonders, Mark 16:20. Jesus said this way in John 15, if you abide in me and my words abide in, then you shall ask. The keys of the kingdom, that's the scepter of heaven. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loose in heaven. Matthew 18:18. The keys of the, get the rod in your hand. Get the word. How do I do that, Pastor? In closing, to take God's word in your hand, you must receive God's word in your heart.
All right.
To take God's word in your hand, you must receive God's word in your heart.
Yes.
To take God's word in your hand, you must receive God's word in your heart. Let me end with this verse in honor of mothers for Mother's Day. Gospel Luke chapter 1, talking about Mary. And the angels telling Mary, hey, this is what's going to happen. What a crazy story.
Yeah.
I mean, if angels showed up in your room one day, that's my sound of an angel. I don't know what he sounds like, but I just, some bright light. See, one day when you see an angel, you're going to be like, Pastor was right. Or you can be like, man, he was so wrong about that angel thing. I got to find him up here in heaven to let him know. And the angel's telling Mary what God's about to do and how she's going to birth the Messiah. Verse 37. And the angel says, for no word, I love this translation, for no word from God shall be void of power. For no word from God shall be void of power. When God roars, he expects something to happen.
Yes.
That's why Isaiah 55:11, God's word goes forth. It will not return void, but it will accomplish that to which it's sent. When God speaks, he expects something to happen. Heaven and earth will pass away before my words fail, Jesus said. When God speaks, he expects something to happen.
Yes.
And Mary said, notice this, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. And the angel departed. Behold the handmaiden. Notice first thing she says, behold the handmaiden. We'll leave this verse on the screen. Behold the handmaiden. Pastor, I need to get a handle on this word so that I can exercise what authority God's given me. And we'll talk more about that next time, how to release the roar. We're talking about building the roar right now, empowering your person. How do I get a handle? First, you got to understand who you are in relationship to God.
Right.
Yeah. You're son and daughter of the Most High.
Amen.
But he's also God. He's also God.
Yeah.
Samuel, when he was a little boy, it was a miracle from heaven. His mom had prayed and prayed and prayed and was barren, and she said, God, if you give me a child, I'll give him right back to you.
Yeah.
She became pregnant. She had birth of this little boy, and she left him at the temple to be raised and to work. Wow, interesting. But Samuel grew up in the temple, working, serving. And one day while he was sleeping, and you've heard this story, many of you. One night when he was sleeping, he heard the voice, Samuel, Samuel. And he came running into Eli, who was the head priest, said, what do you want? And Eli's like, I didn't call you, go back to bed. So he went back to bed and fell asleep, and all of a sudden he heard the voice, Samuel, Samuel. According to the Bible, he got back up and went to Eli and said, what do you want? He said, I didn't call you. Leave me alone. Go back to bed. And eventually Eli figured out what was happening. And so the next time it happened, Eli said, Samuel, here's what it is. It's the voice of the Lord. What you need to do is say, speak now, Lord, for your servant heareth.
Yeah.
Now, the reason I bring that up is because most people overlook that. But here's the importance of it. If we don't know how to respond to God, we struggle in receiving from God.
Right.
Yeah.
If Samuel could hear the voice of God already as he called his name, why didn't God just keep talking? Because he did not respond correctly. He has to give God permission into that area of his life. You have to invite him. You have to invite his word. He says, speak, Lord, for your servant. Literally what he was saying is, I'll do, because in the context of that culture, a servant was assigned to obey the instructions of their master regardless of they liked it or not.
Right. Yeah.
Speak, Lord, for your servant here. Was he saying, whatever you say, I'll do it?
Yeah.
You know what struggles a lot of people from hearing revelations that gives them the authority is because they're looking for God to be on their team.
Yes.
It's like a shopping cart. They got a can of God. They got a large can of God. Ooh, I'm so important. Look, I got God in my life. It's not a matter of God's in your life. Have you got to the place where you realize you don't own yourself anymore? You belong to him.
Come on, Pastor. Yes.
He's not on your team. You're on his.
That's right.
He's not back in your play. You're supposed to be obeying his. Well, I'm going to do what they did, and I can maybe get the same results. It won't work like you think, because it might work, but you carry the weight of it because you don't have the ability of it, because God didn't ask you to do it. He's not going to back it. That's what Jesus meant when he said, verily, verily, in those days, many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we? And all these wonderful things, cast out devils, preach all these things. And Jesus said, I'll look at them and say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I do not know you. That used to bother me. Why would he say, man, healing people, getting people delivered, doing some awesome things in the ministry? That's a good ministry. Why would you say iniquity? That's not sin. But then as you study it out, the word iniquity comes from the context of the word wicked, where we get the word wicker. Wicker comes out of that same lineage of words. And so what it literally means, twisted. And so what Jesus was saying is, depart from me, you who did, one translation puts it this way, you who did unauthorized works. We want to do what we want to do and just tag on the name of Jesus to it and just say, I'm good because I'm going to do my plans and I'm going to pray, Jesus, bless me and my stuff. And you struggle wondering why it's not working because you haven't positioned yourself in the place he wants you to be. Before you can resist the devil and flee, it says, submit yourself under God and then resist the devil. What is he doing? I'm positioning myself. A lot of people want Jesus as the forgiver, but they don't want him as the Lord, which means I belong to you. What you say from your word goes. You show me and I'll obey. Mary said, behold the servant, the handmaiden of the Lord. What is she saying? I positioned myself that it's not about my comfort.
Right.
It's not about if I want to.
Yes.
It's not about my convenience.
Yes.
Have you ever tried serving God out of convenience? It doesn't work. It doesn't mean life is miserable. Don't get me wrong. You're like, Lord, I want to pray. So you place it in my heart when I should pray. And you go to watch your favorite program.
Come on, Pastor.
And the Lord just said, how would you like to pray right now? Not yet, Lord. You don't even like the show. A year from later, you don't remember it. But it's like, not yet, Lord. And Mary said, I'll leave that. And Mary said, too many are getting quiet. That means you're convicted. And Mary said, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to your word. Be it unto me. We have lost that in the church world because we thought that it meant I got to do what other people tell me to do. And men and women of God have really messed that up. I'm a man of God, or I'm a woman of God, I'm anointed. You better do what I say or God will judge you. Listen, just because they said it doesn't make them right. When it comes from God, it'll be the word of God revealed to your heart. Now, God can and use people and will use people.
Right.
But the word of God says you don't have need of any teacher, for the anointed one, the anointing, will teach you all things. What does that mean? God didn't say don't have ministers, don't have pastors, don't have teachers, because we all need people in our lives that are instruct us. But just because you hear it doesn't mean you have to obey it. You hear it, and when the Holy Spirit reveals it, then you obey it. Am I helping anybody today?
Yes.
A lot of people don't like this talking because they want someone else to take all the heat and they're controlling my life and they're telling me if I'm right or wrong. And what if they're wrong?
Yes.
You're going to get to heaven and say, well, God, it's not my fault, it's theirs. Mm-mm, you're the driver of your own ship.
Right.
I just want you to know there's victory for you. Be it unto me according to your word. And the angel left. Why? Because she was willing to receive a spiritual word that would challenge and change her physical world.
Yes.
When you get a hold of that revelation, like we said before, it carries power. When you get the rhema, you have the power.
Amen.
And your expectation should be, I don't just necessarily need 1,000 ideas. I need a God idea.
Yes.
And any natural can be changed by the authority of the spiritual word of God. Take God's word in your hand. And to take it, you must receive God's word in your heart. It impacts, makes a difference. Take God's word in your hand and begin to impact your own world. Amen.
Amen.
We're done. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. If you'd be so kind and gracious, bow your head, close your eyes, no one moving around. If you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm not asking you to join a church, denomination, or religion. I'm asking you, is Jesus Christ real to you in a way that you know for yourself that he's real and your personal Lord and Savior? Only you can answer that. With every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm not into religion. I define that as man's rules that get to God. I'm into a real relationship with Jesus Christ, believing the word and standing on the word of God. Revelation 3, Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open up, I'll come in. Romans 10 says, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. A short, simple prayer can make an eternal difference in your life. If you don't know him, this is your day. Maybe it's the first time you've heard the gospel, or maybe you've allowed stuff to come between you and God and you know your heart's not right. This is the day for salvation. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior right now, pray this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I turn to you today. I repent of my sins. I confess with my mouth and I believe with my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come in my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, give me a fresh start. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Now, before we go any farther, if you prayed that prayer, and you're like, Pastor, I prayed that prayer. I know Jesus answered that prayer. I'm saved. I want to encourage you. We're going to do something. I'm going to speak a blessing over your life. It comes out of the Word of God, that you would be strengthened with might in your inner man by the Holy Spirit, which means that God would give you supernatural strength to live for Him. You can't do this on your own. Some of you have tried, and then you keep coming back. You got to do it through His ability. You need His power, His presence, His truth in your life. So I want to pray that blessing over your life. How can I do that? At the count of three, I'm going to ask you, if you prayed that prayer, to stand to your feet. You don't have to come down here. I'm just going to ask you to stand so I know who I'm praying for. And then we're going to celebrate. Now, a lot of people, and I'm one of the, if I'm in a different group, I don't know if I like standing in front of people. Some of you look for the opportunity to stand in front of people. Either way. But I will tell you that that struggle you feel right now is real. But it's good to stand anyway. Because when you get out in the world, they're not going to celebrate Jesus. They're going to celebrate trying to get you to live in sin. And if you can't stand for Jesus in a room where people are clapping, how do you stand for Jesus in a room and they're not?
Yeah.
And they're mocking. So at the count of three, if you prayed that prayer and you mean business with God, I want you to stand to your feet. One, if some of you are bold, I want you to do it quick. Two, the rest of you, I want you to start clapping when they do. Three, stand to your feet if you would. Come on, church. Stand to your feet. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, amen, 15, 16, come on, give the Lord, 17, come on. One in the portico, 18. Amen. Stay where you're at. First of all, let me just say congratulations and welcome to the family of God. Amen. Amen. I'm going to, before I pray a blessing, let me just encourage you. We're here for you, but we're not going to chase you. If you need anything, you have questions, you want to get involved, you want to be a part, you need a Bible, you want somebody to pray with, you need somebody to answer questions, let us know. You can do that by calling the office. You can talk to us when we're at church. You can go to the information center and get a help. Whatever you, we don't chase people. We help people that want to, it's like, don't catch the fish that don't want to be caught. Because I believe it's a tactic of the enemy. We'll spend all our energy helping two or three that don't want it, and then the person that does want it, we have no time for because we're exhausted. So I put my energy strategically into the people that we can help that won't need help. So if you ever need anything, you need a Bible, need prayer, let us know. We're here for you. Amen?
Amen.
Be a part. Don't let this just be a moment. Let it become a part of the movement in your life. That means you can keep having the same experience as far as coming to church. Be a part of a local church. Nobody's perfect. You're not, we're not, but we keep loving each other, praying, and growing together. Amen?
Amen.
And also get a cause. To me, that's important. Find somebody you can invite to church. Don't be an island to yourself. Not everybody, but let God show you the somebody. Church, will you stretch your hands toward them as I pray? Father, I thank you for every person that just got saved. Thank you for your grace and mercy in all our lives. Now, according to your word, I pray that you would strengthen them with might by your Holy Spirit in their inner person. Strengthen them, empower them to be who you called them to be, to live the way you've called them according to your word to live, to stand up against sin and the enemy, and to live for you in the victory and the joy and the peace and the strength that you have for them and the blessing. We thank you. Father, I ask for a fresh right now. I've never prayed this for this way. But I pray, let there be not a dark cloud. There's some of them that have been experiencing like a dark cloud over their life. We curse that in the name of Jesus. Lord, be a bright cloud of blessing over them this week and the days ahead. Let them sense your favor, your love, your peace like they've never have before. When they're praying, when they're reading their Bible, but even when they're not, when they wake up, let them just sense that you're there and that you love them. And we give you praise. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. You may be seated. Amen.